Let's say a prayer. God, we come this morning ready to listen to you, and we ask that you will speak through your word. If there is anything that's getting in the way of our being able to hear this morning, we ask that you will remove those barriers and help us to hear. Help us to come in humility. Help us to recognize your grace. And help us to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have three passages of scripture this morning, and hopefully one of the shortest sermons ever, unless my mind wanders. The first is from John, the 17th. Actually, that's not the first. The first is Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 3 through 6. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Our next reading comes from the Gospel of John. It's a portion of a prayer that Jesus prayed right before he was arrested. It's the 17th chapter, and we're looking at verses 20 through 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And our final reading is from the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Verse 16 and 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks our participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. We will, that this body die, be dissolved, and to sink into union with the body of Christ at large. For there is but one body and one Spirit, even as we are called, and one hope of our calling. These words are from the last will and testament of the Springfield Presbytery. So this is what started our movement, the Disciples of Christ, the Christian Church. This single church decided to take a prophetic step of faith. Their pastor was Pastor Barton Stone, and what they decided is they were going to close their local church and dissolve into Christianity. They were trying to make a statement against all the factions, all the little churches everywhere being against each other, and trying to say, no, we're one body, we're all one church. And so as they did this, they were showing they cared more for the larger whole than for their own self-interest. So this is a third sermon in a three-part series on Christian Church Disciples of Christ and who we are and what we're about. And our polar star, according to the same pastor, Barton Stone, is unity. That's what we're about. Thomas Campbell, who is another founder of our movement, he said that divisions in Christ's body is an evil. He said that divisions in Christ's body is an evil, and we must heal the divides. And Sharon Watkins, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she was our general minister and president until this past July, and then she handed it on. She wanted us to remember that we have the opportunity to either bring fragmentation or wholeness into the world. I don't know about you, but I know there's times I've brought fragmentation, and I know there's times I've brought wholeness. But we have a choice every day. Are we going to bring fragmentation, or are we going to bring wholeness to this world? And then we have this prayer of Jesus. He's asking his Father to bring unity to his church. But this is the problem. We live in a polarized world, right? Our culture is constantly making it an us against them. All the time. Sports teams. Everybody has to choose their sports teams. You know, it's the Cubs versus the Cardinals. The Hawkeyes versus the Cyclones. Politics, we have Republicans versus Democrats. Progressives versus conservatives. When it even comes to the way we're born, our race and our ethnicity, we have black versus white, native versus conqueror versus immigrant. Then we have brand loyalty. Are you an iPhone or a Droid fan? Oh, do you shop at Hy-Vee or do you shop at Aldi's? It even comes to our sexual identity and gender. Are you male or female, homosexual or heterosexual? And economics. The haves versus the have-nots. It even comes to our worship. Are you a fan of traditional or contemporary music? Are you about liturgical order or being led by the Spirit? Our culture wants to pull us apart. Our culture wants us to live in a polarized way. But that's not what Jesus wanted for us. See, Jesus created a different culture. In a world where children were pushed off to the side, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." In a world where there was Jews and there were Gentiles, there were people of the nation and people not in the nation, Jesus said, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen." In a world where there's clean and there's unclean, where there's people you like and you people you don't like, Jesus pointed to Zacchaeus in the tree and said, "I must stay at your house today." See, Jesus' culture is different than our culture. And our denomination has decided to prioritize a symbol that unites us, and it's this table, the Lord's table. One thing, no matter which Disciples of Christ church you go to, you will always find the communion table is in the center. We don't set it to the side. We make it right in the center of our worship because this is our family dining table. In your kitchen or your dining room, everybody hangs out. One thing I love about going to my in-laws' house is we have dinner and we sit and talk for hours. I mean hours afterwards at the table. That's where the family unites and we talk about things and we tell jokes and we even get to talking about life and the things that are difficult. The communion table is central because it's a place that unites us. It's the place that brings us together as a family. And in our denomination, we want to take part of this table as often as we can. So every week, we come to this table on Sunday. But you know what? We can come to this table at other times. When you have a disciple group, you're welcome to have communion at your disciple group. When we go visit our homebound, our elders, we have some wonderful elders. Jerry Willard does an amazing job of going and visiting our homebound and bringing communion to them. We're doing communion. Every day, we can have communion with each other. And then we have chosen the chalice as the symbol of our movement. The chalice, which is a powerful symbol that we're going to talk about in a moment. But the question becomes, how does this table unite us? Well, first it unites us because all are welcome here. We remember the variety of people Jesus ate with. He ate with a lot of different types of people. In fact, people called Jesus a drunkard because of the people he hung out with. So all are welcome to this table. Now, not everyone has to receive that invitation, and we respect people when they say, "I don't want to receive that invitation," but all are welcome. And then we have this one loaf, which represents that we are one body. In seminary, we had a lot of conversations about how do you serve communion when you have a 1,000-member church versus a 5-member church. And in the discussion, this was an ecumenical, so there's people in our seminary from a variety of different church backgrounds. We were all in agreement that you needed to have one loaf. That even if you planned on taking the loaf a lot of places, you had to have one loaf because it represents our unity. One bread. And then when we break the broken bread is very symbolic because it reminds us of the cross and how Jesus' body was broken, but it also reminds us the church is broken. The world is broken. We're broken people. So when we break that, we're not just remembering Christ's brokenness, but we're admitting our own brokenness. But then as we take the pieces of the bread and we pass them around and we each partake of them, we're remembering the resurrection and reminding how when we partake of this, we receive salvation, and it unites us with every other person who partakes. So even though it's broken by our partaking, we're making one body in us. So communion is known as a sacrament. And we have few of those that we recognize, but this is one. And sacrament is an outward and a visible sign of an inward and invisible work of grace. So when we participate in this, we recognize that God's doing something within us and changing us and transforming us. This is also a table of reconciliation. Before we partake, we're supposed to recognize the body of Christ. Now we recognize Jesus, but we also recognize each other. And it's a table that reminds us that we need to go to our brothers or sisters and we need to apologize and say, hey, I messed up. It's also table reconciliation, and we recognize people around the world are coming to this table. And finally, it's a table of unity because we recognize Christ is our host. And when Christ is the host, remember that he is a host who gave of himself, and he loved the world, and we're supposed to do the same. So I don't know if you know this, but part of our passing the plate is we are serving each other. I don't know if you know that that's part of our tradition, is that when you receive the tray, you're supposed to serve the person next to you just as Christ serves us. Because Christ is the host and we're supposed to follow his example. I want to share this quote with you from Sharon Watkins, again, former general minister and president. She says, The frequent television caricatures of Christianity are about dividing lines and stating who's in and who's out. The spiritual heart of my denomination, however, is a table where all are welcome because a loving God first welcomed us. It is a family table and much more. Food of symbolic nature is shared, but more important is the timeless, boundless embrace of the table's host, who is Jesus. See, we as a movement are committed to being ecumenical, or ecumenicalism. I don't know if I said that right. So our churches have been part of the Natural Council of Churches, World Council of Churches, Churches United in Christ, Christian Churches Together. This church, in doing the crop walk, we're uniting with other churches in the area, recognizing this table and inviting people to a similar table, but a table that feeds their hunger. Our garden, we have had such open arms and an ecumenical spirit with it. There are people of all kinds of different churches that are out there using the garden. It's a table that we have spread for our neighborhood. And my hope, when we get to that new building, as we start dreaming about our dreams for the future building, one of my dreams is I want to host the pastors of the Westdale churches at our new building. I want to have a quarterly gathering where we invite all the pastors together and we talk about what's going on in the neighborhood and say, what can we do together to make a difference? How can we do ministry together? That's one of my personal visions for the land. But this is central to who we are. It's a table. And so today we have fellowship, and I really want to invite everybody to go to the tables over there and have fellowship with each other. Don't disappear too fast. Come down and sit and talk with each other, because we're a table people. Let us now stand and sing, Give Them All to Jesus, which is two verses long.